Okay, House Bill 1026. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Cindy Gerber with Driver Licensing in the Department of Commerce and Regulation. House Bill 1026 is an act to disqualify a person from operating a commercial motor vehicle for certain traffic convictions regarding railroad companies and to provide certain penalties. This bill is a result of a change in federal commercial driver licensing regulations. These regulations were changed as a result of Section 403 of the ICC Termination Act of 1995. Rules were effective in 1999. States must be in substantial compliance by October of this year to avoid loss of federal highway funds. The October date is 3 years from the effective date of the rule. Failure to adopt the regulation will result in withholding of federal highway funds for not being in substantial compliance with the CDL program requirements. 5% shall be withheld following the first year of non-compliance, which comes out to be an estimated $7.1 million, and 10% shall be withheld following the second or subsequent year of non-compliance, which is about $14.2 million. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration revised its regulations to require the commercial motor vehicle drivers who are convicted of violating regulations pertaining to highway railroad grade crossings be disqualified from operating commercial motor vehicle. The FMCSA, which is an acronym for Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, has indicated that the purpose of this is to enhance the safety of commercial motor vehicle operators on our highways. Railroad crossing violations can cause death and injury on a large scale. The statutes that are listed in this bill are all related to railroad crossings. The bill does not create any new reasons that a person must stop at a crossing. It applies only to the existing laws that I will list for you. It only changes the consequences of violating the current laws we have on the books while operating a commercial motor vehicle. The statutes that are included are 3229.4, stop required when grade crossing signal operator, 3229.5, vehicles that are required to stop at all railroad crossings. This would include school buses and commercial vehicles hauling hazardous materials. 3229.7, posting of dangerous grade crossings. 3229.8, construction and low clearance vehicles to take special precautions at grade crossings. And 3229.9, notice and precautions required of equipment operators making crossings. The first conviction for a violation of these laws pertaining to railroad highway grade crossings will, while driving a commercial vehicle, will result in a 60-day disqualification. Second conviction in a 3-year period will result in a 120-day disqualification, and a third in a 3-year period will result in a 1-year disqualification. Sections 5 and 6 establish penalties to be assessed against employing motor carriers who knowingly allowed a driver to operate a commercial motor vehicle in violation of these laws. This bill will not affect large numbers of drivers, as there have been very few of these types of convictions in the past. I ask you to support this bill and allow South Dakota to remain in substantial compliance with the federal commercial driver license regulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator McCracken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cindy, in what you've just explained here, let's just, like a farmer, rancher, on his hauling his own cattle to market. Now, this would not affect him. Is that correct?
That's correct. Unless the, you know, if the railroad crossing light is flashing, everybody has to stop.
I understand that.
Right.
But normal procedure.
Right.
Okay. How about if I hired a person who's in that business to come out and move my cattle, that has a CDL license, to move my cattle to market?
Okay.
Does this encompass them?
No, it doesn't. And JC, correct me if I'm incorrect on that, but it wouldn't, because they're not required to stop at railroad crossings. They only are if the light is flashing.
Right.
We're not changing that to make them have to stop.
So that the net doesn't get bigger to bring them in?
No.
Okay. How about construction companies that are hauling their construction? Mr. Chairman.
You may continue.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I messed up, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank you.
Could you recognize it?
I got it.
Continue.
How about like construction companies that are hauling their equipment to other locations?
It doesn't make them stop if they don't have to stop today. It doesn't change any of the laws that require you to stop at railroad crossings today.
Okay.
It just changes the consequences if they do while driving a commercial motor vehicle.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Chairman.
All right, Senator Valesky.
Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the current penalty for not stopping at a railroad crossing today? And
it's a Class 2 misdemeanor, and it goes on the record, but they're not disqualified from driving a commercial motor vehicle.
There's no automatic disqualification.
No, that's correct.
That's what this would call for.
That's right.
Thank you.
Senator Alberts.
Well, it seems like these code sites not only require one to stop, but they have to stop in a certain kind of way or be in violation. They have to bring such vehicle to a complete stop within 50 feet, but not less than 15 feet from the nearest rail.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, and that's the way
current
laws. If
they don't stop within 15 feet of the nearest rail, they can lose their commercial driver's license for...
If they're convicted of it, yes.
I would say if you're within 15 feet, you'd be right on the train.
Well, it says you have to, though.
Senator Staggers.
Just a point of clarification. Many times when we get these threats from the federal government, it's usually in statute. I just want to clarify, these are regulations from a federal bureaucracy. If we don't comply with the regulations of unelected people, we are going to lose money. Is that right?
If we don't comply with the federal regulations,
we are
out of compliance with the CDL program requirements of the federal government, and we would lose federal funds.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Senator Hagin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cindy, the way this is written up, on the first offense, a 60-day deal, mm-hmm. What do they have to do, anything special to get there to be reinstated?
They would have to do what they would do today, which is basically they would start over with the licensing process. They would need to pay a reinstatement fee, and then they would need to complete testing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, you may continue.
Thank you. And the same process would be on the first, on the second and the third?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Cindy, I'm going to ask, under Section 6, if, Senator McCracken said, if they were hauling cattle and the owner was letting them drive under suspension, what is the penalty for that? Is that the same? They could be fined up to 10. Is that just hazardous material?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
If your driver is driving a cattle truck, mm-hmm. transporting cattle, but he's under suspension,
okay.
and he gets caught and he has the permission of the owner, what is the fine? Is the fine the same as hazardous material? The owner of the truck.
The owner.
Letting a suspended driver drive that truck.
You know, I'd have to find out for sure. But Section 6 says knowingly allowed them to operate
right.
a commercial motor vehicle in violation of laws pertaining to railroad highway grade crossing. I would say that probably would not apply because it's saying this is applying particularly to them violating the railroad grade crossing. So
I thought maybe off the top of your head you knew that they would fine it was for another commercial operator. You don't know. That's fine.
But what's the fine if they do what? I'm sorry. I guess I'm not understanding your question.
If you let an illegal driver that's under suspension drive just a cattle truck, is there the owner's, what kind of fine that they face?
The employer?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to double check on that. I don't know that.
You're shaking your head. There is a fine, right, for doing that.
If the employer allows it?
There's a statute currently in effect, Mr. Chairman, that if you knowingly allow an unauthorized person to drive a motor vehicle, but it's a separate statute, I think. Not associated with this specific one.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Thank you.
Thanks.
Are there further proponents of House Bill 1026?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. Bill Nevin, Chief Legal Counsel for the Department of Transportation. It seems I call too often I need to come in front of this committee and ask to pass a bill, otherwise the fence is going to take money from us. But such is reality. And as Cindy indicated, in this case, the penalty that would kick in at the beginning of this coming federal fiscal year, that is October 1, 2002, would be 5% of our annual highway appropriation. Based on current funding projections, that would amount to about $7.1 million. The following years, if we still haven't complied, goes to 10%, or approximately, based on current projections, $14.2 million. Now, there are those that might suggest that if we have fewer federal dollars, that means that we'll need less state dollars to match it and therefore help alleviate the current revenue shortfall that we talked to this committee about before. But I assure you the Department of Transportation would prefer that that problem be resolved in a different manner than that. The other point I would like to make is that not all projects that are eligible for federal funding do require a state match. We need the money. We would urge you to pass this bill.
Questions? Senator Staggers.
You know, when we talk about what this bill is going to do and the penalties for not doing it, do you think these penalties are overly harsh?
I could express my own personal opinion. I'm not certain, I guess, Senator Staggers, whether or not the bill is bears a relative ratio to the cure they're proposing, but that's someone else's call, I guess.
Senator Staggers.
I guess, doesn't anybody from the states complain about these kind of things? That here we have, you know, rather minor regulations and a huge, huge sledgehammer being used against the states. Doesn't anybody at the state level, South Dakota or other states, complain to the federal government about this?
I'm sure the concerns of the states are made known, Senator, to the congressional delegation in Washington. Whether or not that's particularly effective, I guess, is open to debate.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any further proponents of House Bill 1026?
Seconds. Oh, sorry. A couple of seconds of time is not worth risking your life, but people do. And as a driver of a heavier, inherently more dangerous vehicle, I do not have a problem with a heavier penalty or a stricter law applying to me. I understand and sympathize wholeheartedly with some members of this committee that resent the heavy hand of the federal government, these mandates, but in this case, I believe that it is a very good law on its own merits, whether the federal government tries to browbeat us into it or not. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Thank you, sir. Are there further proponents of House Bill 1026? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1026? Seeing none, we'll close this to committee discussion and disposition of the bill. Senator Vlasky. Is there a second?
Second.
By Senator McCracken. Any discussion on the matter? I think I would say that I think even though the penalties look severe, Senator, I think that once a train hits one of these things, these hazard material, you got a mess, and it could be anybody living in the area. If they got the right fuel, it could be just incredibly hazard would happen. I had a friend that was killed sitting in a nightclub that was close to a railroad crossing, and a train struck a hazard material, and they killed about six people inside that building. They couldn't get out; they were trapped. So it's catastrophic. And motor carriers that are carrying hazard material should be fully aware of what they're doing. With that in mind, is there further discussion on House Bill 1026? Seeing none, House Bill 1026 will call to a vote. Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Friedrich? Hagan?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Valesky?
Aye.
Staggers?
No.
Dietrich?
Aye. House Bill 1026 is received. I do pass recommendation to go to the floor. It's passed. Thank you.